Is that the origin of monks shaving their heads? Episode 216 and Tipitaka 139, Mahavagga 1, Part 10, in which we will continue to read Mahavagga from the first basket. I forgot to bring the incense holder over. That's what's happening here as I'm improvising. For those who are just tuning in, you may wish to start here. That's the beginning of Tipitaka, the beginning of this book. We're now a little bit of the way through the fourth book of the Tipitaka. I hope everyone's doing well. And I can't think of anything else to say for the introduction, so that means it's time to get started with the recital. Got a bird happening. Can you hear it outside? It's nice and quiet. Lord's willing, the dog will remain quiet. Okay. Here we go. Now at that time, five diseases were prevalent among the people of Magadha: leprosy, boils, eczema, consumption, and epilepsy. For those wondering, consumption is probably congestive heart failure. People afflicted with the five diseases, all five? No, surely not. Having approached Jivaka Kumarabhaka, sorry for my horrible pronunciations, spoke thus, quote, "It were good, teacher, if you would attend us," end quote. Quote, "But I, masters, am very busy. There is much to be done. And King Senia Bimbisara of Magadha is to be looked after by me. Also, the women's quarters and the order of monks with the awakened one at its head. I am not able to attend you," end quote. Quote, "All this property shall become yours, teacher, and we will be your slaves. It were good, teacher, if you would attend us," end quote. Quote, "But I, masters, am very busy," three dots, "I am not able to attend you," end quote. Editor Edward, is this the same, Jivaka Kumarabhaka? Is he the one credited with introducing Thai yoga body work? More commonly known as Thai massage to the world? It is, and his name is easier to pronounce when it's written in three words instead of two, like such, Jivaka Kumarabhaka, like that. Here's a picture of him from when Priyal and I, that's my wife, were in Mysore getting certified as Thai yoga bodywork teacher trainers from Emosha. Raghu in Emosha was training us just prior to the lockdown. We got the heck out of there when COVID hit, and we were living in Delhi at the time, so we had to lock down in Delhi. But anyway, so we didn't finish that training, but we did get the basic practitioner training. Now, that's the one where they bend your legs. It's sort of like yoga, like asana yoga, except someone else does it to you. So you just lay there and someone bends your legs and hits you with a hammer and stuff like that. So it's not like massage or there's no oil involved or anything like that. So anyway, Jivaka Kumar Bhaka, Thai Yoga Bodywork. Just as the yogic practice of asana is intended to prepare the yogi for deep and prolonged meditation, so too is the art of Thai yoga bodywork. It is said that Lord Buddha's physician, Jivaka Kumar Bhaka, developed the system for the monks of the original Sangha, back when Lord Buddha still walked the earth. As Buddhism spread eastward, so did this practice. And as Buddhism became less popular in India, so did the accompanying bodywork practice. Even as the Indian monk Padmasambhava and others brought Vajrayana Buddhism to Tibet, which then returned to India last century, and even as the Indian monk Bodhidharma brought the practice which would come to be called Zen to the East, to see it return to India as the world became smaller, so too has this art, now known as Thai yoga bodywork, returned to India in a big way. By the way, if there's anybody watching from Thailand and you're interested in donating a statue of Jivaka Kumar Bhaka, I can't find it anywhere online, but I know that they have them there. But I don't know when I'm going to be able to make it back to Thailand, but he definitely belongs somewhere here among the statues of great masters. Jivaka Kumar Bhaka. Contact me if you're interested in sending me a statue from Thailand. I'm here in India. All right. Thank you for clarifying that, Editor Edward. Then it occurred to these people, quote, "These recluses, sons of the Sakya, are of pleasant character, of pleasant conduct. Having eaten good meals, they lie down on beds sheltered from the wind. Suppose we were to go forth among the recluses, sons of the Sakyans." Okay, I have a prediction. I think that at the end of this story, Lord Buddha is going to say that you shouldn't join his order for medical coverage. Let's see. "In that case, monks would look after us, and moreover, Jivaka Komarabhaka would attend us," end quote. Then these people, having approached parentheses some and parentheses monks, asked for the going forth. The monks let them go forth. They ordained them. These monks looked after them, and moreover, Jivaka Komarabhaka attended them. Now at that time, looking after many ill monks, lived intent on asking, intent on hinting, saying, quote, "Give food for the sick, give food for those who look after the sick, give medicines for the sick," end quote. And Jivaka Komarabhaka, attending many ill monks, omitted some of his duties toward the king. That seemed a little awkward in the beginning, didn't it? Now at that time, monks, looking after many ill monks, lived intent on asking, intent on... Okay. So the monks that were looking after the ill monks were intent on, lived intent on, okay, I'll keep reading. "A certain man," okay, so they were begging a lot. This happened in one of the earlier rules where the monks were begging too much in a particular area. And then people started hiding inside, and when they would see cattle from a distance, they would think that it was monks coming to beg, and they would hide inside. So it got to be too much, and Lord Buddha had to make a rule. Anyway, and Jivaka Komarabhaka attending many ill monks, omitted some of his duties toward the king. A certain man, afflicted with the five diseases, having approached Jivaka Komarabhaka, spoke thus, quote, "It were good, teacher, if you would attend me." End quote. Quote, "But I, master, am very busy. I am not able to attend you." End quote. Quote, "All this property shall be yours, teacher, and I will be your slave. It were good, teacher, if you would attend me." End quote. Sounds like the U.S. medical, you have to give all your property and become a slave to the doctor. That sounds about right. Anyway, quote, "But I, master, am very busy, I am not able to attend you." And even then, you have to wait in the waiting room for 10 hours at Kaiser. Never mind. End quote. "Then it occurred to that man, quote, now these recluses, sons of the Sakyans, are of pleasant character. Suppose I were to go forth among the recluses, sons of the Sakyans. In that case, monks would look after me, and moreover, Jivaka Komarabhaka would attend me. And when I am well, I will leave the order." Okay, end quote. I mean, I think that if somebody joined the order and their real reason for joining was to get medical coverage, but then they decided, yeah, there's something to this, I think I'm going to stick with it, and, you know, then that would be different. But they're just scamming the system, right? "Then that man, having approached some and monks, asked for the going forth. These monks let him go forth. They ordained him. These monks looked after him, and moreover, Jivaka Kombarabhaka attended him. When he was well, he left the order. Jivaka Kombarabhaka saw that man who had left the order. Seeing him, he spoke thus to that man, quote, had not you, master, gone forth among the monks?" End quote. Quote, "Yes, teacher." End quote. Quote, "Then why have you, master, acted in this way?" End quote. Then this man told this matter to Jivaka Kombarasaka, Kombarabhaka. So, okay, when he was well, he left the order. Right, okay. Jivaka Kombarabhaka looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, "How can these honored sirs let one afflicted with the five diseases go forth?" End quote. Is the rule going to end up being that you can't become a monk if you're sick? Let's find out. I mean, there was one earlier rule where they told that Brahmin, the Brahmin wanted to become a monk, and they said, okay, but, you know, we don't have a lot of food here. You have to go out begging. And he's like, if you had told me that, I mean, I think that's what they told him. They told him about the resources. And he said, well, now that I know about your resources, I don't want to join. And Lord Buddha said, don't tell them about our resources until after they join. It's kind of like, I wasn't expecting that to be the rule established. So I have an open mind about being disappointed. Well, surprised, let's say. It was a different time. 6th century before Common Era, you know. Okay. I mean, these days you have to give your phone number and your name and everything, and then they know how you're paying at the grocery store in order to get a little discount and become a preferred member of the grocery store. And that's considered normal by us. In 2,600 years, there might be someone sitting reading about that on YouTube, saying, oh my god, I can't believe they did that back then. So, okay, I'll just keep reading. Then Jivaka Kombarabhaka approached the Lord. Having greeted the Lord, he sat down at a respectful distance. As he was sitting down at a respectful distance, Jivaka Kombarabhaka spoke thus to the Lord, quote, it were well, Lord, if the masters did not let one afflicted with any one of the five diseases go forth. End quote. The Lord then gladdened, rejoiced, roused, delighted Jivaka Kumarabhaka with talk on Dhamma. Then Jivaka Kumarabhaka, gladdened, delighted by the Lord, with talk on Dhamma, rising from his seat, having greeted the Lord, departed, keeping his right side towards him. Then the Lord, on this occasion, in this connection, having given reasons talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, one afflicted with, any one of, the five diseases, should not be let go forth. Whoever should let, one such, go forth, there is an offense of wrongdoing. So, you can be a monk and get one of these diseases. So if you're already a monk and you get leprosy or boils or eczema or consumption or epilepsy, then you don't get kicked out. But if you have one of these, you cannot become a monk. In the case of the one with epilepsy, as long as he doesn't have a seizure in front of them, he could probably... No, I don't have any of those. Okay. An odd rule. An interesting rule. I'll keep reading. Now, at that time there came to be a disturbance on the borderlands of King Sanniya Bimbisara of Magadha. Then King Sanniya Bimbisara of Magadha commanded the generals, the chief ministers, saying, quote, go, good sirs, search the borderlands, end quote. Quote, very well, sire, end quote. That's how they spoke back then. Never mind. The generals, the chief ministers, answered King Sanniya Bimbisara of Magadha in dissent. Then it occurred to, some, very distinguished warriors, quote, because we delight in battle, we do evil, and we engender much demerit. Now, by what means could we refrain from evil and do what is good? End quote. Then it occurred to these warriors, quote, these recluses, sons of the Sakyans, are Dhamma-farers, even-farers, Brahma-farers. They are truth-speakers of moral habit, of good character. Now, if we were to go forth among these recluses, sons of the Sakyans, thus might we refrain from evil and do what is good. End quote. Then these warriors, having approached some and monks, asked for the going forth. The monks let them go forth. They ordained them. The generals, the chief ministers, asked those in the king's service, quote, how is it, good sirs, that the warriors so-and-so and so-and-so are not to be seen? End quote. Quote, sir, sire, sirs? I think it says sirs, but it should say sire. Oh, no, the general. Sirs, the warriors so-and-so and so-and-so have gone forth among the monks. End quote. The generals, the chief ministers, spread it about, saying, quote, how can these recluses, sons of the Sakyans, let one who is in the king's service go forth? End quote. The generals, the chief ministers, told this matter to King Sanniya Bimbisara of Magadha. Then King Sanniya Bimbisara of Magadha asked the chief ministers of justice, good sirs, what does he who lets one go forth who is in a king's service engender, for himself, end quote. Quote, sirs, a preceptor's head should be cut off, the tongue should be torn from the announcer of a proclamation, half the ribs of a, member of a, group should be broken, end quote. Then King Sanniya Bimbisara of Magadha approached the Lord. Having greeted the Lord, he sat down at a respectful distance. As he was sitting down at a respectful distance, King Saniya Bimbisara of Magadha spoke thus to the Lord, quote, "There are, Lord, kings who are of no faith, not believing. These might harm monks, even for a trifling matter. It were well, Lord, if masters did not let one in a king's service go forth." Then the Lord gladdened three dots, delighted King Saniya Bimbisara of Magadha with talk on Dhamma. Then King Saniya Bimbisara of Magadha gladdened three dots, delighted by the Lord with talk on Dhamma, rising from his seat, having greeted the Lord, departed, keeping his right side towards him. Then the Lord, on this occasion, in this connection, having given reasoned talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, "Monks, one in a king's service should not be let go forth. Whoever should let, parentheses, one such, and parentheses, go forth, there is an offense of wrongdoing," end quote. Now, I seem to recall that there were soldiers that fought under either Genghis Khan or one of his sons that became monks in Tibet. Now, of course, I don't know if these old Theravadan, these old rules were enforced at that time, or it, maybe they didn't consider the Khans to be kings. I don't know. Just popped into my head, so I thought I'd say it out loud. You know how I am. Now at that time, a thief, parentheses wearing, and parentheses a garland of fingers, should have put a trigger warning at the beginning of this one, came to have gone forth among the monks. Did he take it off, or was he still wearing it? That's creepy. People, this isn't an Aghori order. Is there such a, yes, there is. Anyway. People, having seen, parentheses, him, and parentheses, were perturbed, then alarmed. Then they ran away. Can you imagine him going, like, begging for alms? Like, please have some, can I have some food? I'll chop off your fingers and add it to my necklace if you don't. That's not very Buddhist, right? Okay, anyway. Then they went by a different route, yeah. Yeah, cross the street. Just walk on the other side of the street. Should be fine. Never mind. Okay. Then they turned in another direction. Then they closed the door. People, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, "How can the recluses, sons of the Sakyans, let a thief wearing an emblem go forth?" An emblem has a footnote. I assume it's not good. Oh, it just says some numbers and letters. All right. Okie dokie. End quote. Monks heard these people who three dots spread it about. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. The Lord addressed the monks, saying, quote, "Monks, a thief who wears an emblem should not be let go forth." Does it just any emblem, like any kind of necklace? Take that necklace off because of one monk that had an emblem of human fingers. Okay. "Whoever should let, parentheses, one such, and parentheses, go forth, there is an offense of wrongdoing." End quote. Just for perspective, when the group of six monks were standing with their arms akimbo in the village, that was an offense of wrongdoing. So, you know, you go ahead and initiate the monk with the finger necklace. It's little tiny slap on the wrist. Okay, now at that time, it was decreed by King Saniya Bimbisara of Magadha, quote, "There is nothing to do against those who go forth among the recluses, sons of the Sakyans. Well preached is Dhamma. Let them fare the Brahma faring for making an utter end of ill," end quote. Now at that time, a certain man, having committed a theft, was imprisoned in a jail. He, having broken out of jail, having run away, went forth among the monks. Clever. People, having seen parentheses him and parentheses, spoke thus, quote, "This is the very thief who has broken out of jail. Come along, let us bring him parentheses back," end parentheses, end quote. Some spoke thus, quote, "Do not, masters, speak thus, for it is decreed by King Senia Bimbisara of Magadha," quote within quotes, "there is nothing to do against those three dots utter end of ill," end quote within quotes, end quote. People, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, "These recluses, sons of the Sakyans, are safe and secure. There is nothing to do against them. But how can they let a thief go forth who has broken out of jail?" End quote. I mean, it's a fair point. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Monks, a thief who has broken out of jail should not be let go forth." That's a very specific rule. "Whoever should let," parentheses, "one such," end parentheses, "go forth, there is an offense of wrongdoing," end quote. What about someone who's like in jail for something other than being a thief who breaks out of jail? All right. "Now at that time," those who remember Parajika 1 know that when you make a rule, if it's something the monks wanted to do, they'll find all kinds of loopholes. He spends a substantial portion of this first book, Lord Buddha, spends closing all the loopholes for Parajika 1. Even if it's male and a corpse and a dog, in any situation, don't break Parajika 1, I'll just say, in case there's kids watching. Okay, yes. "Now at that time, a certain man, having committed a theft, having run away, went forth among the monks. And in the royal palace, this was written," quote, "wherever he may be seen, there he should be killed," end quote. People, having seen, parentheses, him, and parentheses, spoke thus, quote, "This is the very thief who was written about. Come along, let us kill him," end quote. Some spoke thus, quote, "Do not, masters, speak thus, three dots utter end of ill." Oh, he went forth among the monks. End quote, then quotes, end quote. People, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, "These recluses, sons of the Sakyans, are safe and secure. There is nothing to do against them. But how can they let a thief go forth who has been written about?" End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Monks, a thief who has been written about should not be let go forth. Whoever should let," parentheses, "one such," end parentheses, "go forth, there is an offensive wrongdoing," end quote. Now, at that time, a certain man who had been scourged as punishment came to have gone forth among the monks. People, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, "How can these recluses, sons of the Sakyans, let one who has been scourged as punishment go forth?" End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Monks, one who has been scourged as punishment should not be let go forth. Whoever should let," parentheses, "one such," end parentheses, "go forth, there is an offensive wrongdoing," end quote. Now at that time, a certain man who had been branded as punishment, three dots, parentheses, the Polytext Society. Yes, that's back by popular demand. One person asked me to bring that back, the Polytech Society song and thing. It's this thick book here, actually. One of these books, the thick ones. I took a picture of where it says Polytech Society, and it just sort of zooms in while Masterpiece Theater plays along with some Theravadan monks in Arizona, I believe, chanting. Anyway, so the translator, has put in parentheses here, yeah, this is all basically the same as the previous, like, several. So just copy-paste everything that was said before here. Okay, so if they're branded as punishment, it's the same thing as if they're scourged as punishment. End parentheses. Continuing. "Now at that time, a certain man, a debtor, having run away, came to have gone forth among the monks. The creditors, having seen him and spoke thus, "This is our very debtor. Come along, let us bring him back," end quote. Some spoke thus, quote, "Do not, masters, speak thus, for it is decreed by King Senia Bimbisara of Magadha," quote, in quotes, "there is nothing to do against those who go forth among the recluses, sons of the Sakyans. Well preached is Dharma. Let them fare the Brahma faring for making an utter end of ill," end quote, in quotes, end quote. People, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, "These recluses, sons of the Sakyans, are safe and secure. There is nothing to do against them. But how can they let a debtor go forth?" End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Monks, a debtor should not be let go forth. Whoever should let one such end go forth, there is an offense of wrongdoing." Okay. End quote. So you have to pay off all your debts before you become a monk. I mean, that's fair. It's fair. He was, Lord Buddha, one thing, because I'm reminded of, forgive the debts, the jubilee, the Christian thing that they definitely don't adhere to. Lord Buddha was wanting to establish his order in the midst of society, and to have it be accepted and acceptable by society, rather than something that was gonna stick it to the man, like Lord Jesus was, right? Basically, stick it to the man was his, except for the whole thing about, "I have not come to contradict the law, but to fulfill it." Other than that, though, he wasn't a big fan of the people in power at the time. Okay. Now at that time, a certain slave, having run away, came to have gone forth among the monks. The mistresses, having seen him and spoke thus, quote, "This is our very slave. Come along, let us bring him back," end parentheses, end quote. Three dots, parentheses, it's the same. Same Lord Buddha says no. No slaves that ran away can join as a monk. That wouldn't have been very popular over these past 150 years. But, in 6th century BC, Bihar. Three dots. Okay. Quote, "Monks, a slave should not be let go forth. Whoever should let one such end go forth, there is an offense of wrongdoing." End quote. So those who are doing research on things you can say to talk about why Buddhism is bad, I'll give you a minute to finish writing that one down. It's on page 96 of the fourth book of the Tipitaka. Buddha said that you have to continue being a slave. You can't run away and become a monk. Got that? Okay, different time. Different time. Now at that time, a certain bald-headed metalsmith, let me guess, bald-headed metalsmiths aren't allowed to be monks? We'll see. Having quarreled with his parents, having gone to a monastery, went forth among the monks. Then the parents of that bald-headed metalsmith, we all know a bald-headed metalsmith, right? Never mind. Searching for that bald-headed metalsmith, having gone to the monastery, asked the monks, saying, quote, "Honored sirs, have you seen a youth like that?" End quote. The monks, not knowing him and merely said, quote, "We do not know him and end quote." Not seeing him and merely said, quote, "We do not see him and end quote." Then the parents of that bald-headed metalsmith, searching for that bald-headed metalsmith, having seen him gone forth among the monks, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, "These recluses, sons of the Sakyans, are shameless, of bad conduct, liars, knowing they merely say," quote, in quotes, "we do not know," end quote, in quotes, "seeing they merely say," quote, in quotes, "we do not see," end quote, And this youth is gone forth among the monks. End quote. Monks heard the parents of this bald-headed metalsmith, who, three dots, spread it about. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, to ask the order for permission for shaving, parentheses, the hair of the head, and parentheses, close, end quote. What? What? Okay. Maybe it's going to explain, but it looks like it's going on to a different subject. So, a bald-headed metalsmith, young bald-headed metalsmith, quarreled with his parents, ran away, and became a monk. And the parents said, hey, have you seen a bald-headed metalsmith? And they were like, no. And then they were like, there he is. Ha! These guys are shameless. And as a result, Lord Buddha said, you can ask the order for permission to shave your head. Is that the origin of monks shaving their heads? No. Is it though? Wow. Wait. I'm so confused. I allow you monks to ask the order for permission for shaving, parentheses, the hair of the head, and parentheses, close. Weird. It's nice to have a puzzle sometimes. I mean, the rest of these, you know, though they may have been a little weird by our standards today, like that you can't be a runaway slave and become a monk, for instance, this one is a puzzle. I am going to wonder about the bald-headed metalsmith until somebody explains it in the comments. Or if I meet a Theravadan scholar, I'll be like, hey, do you have like 10 minutes? What was with the thing with the bald-headed metalsmith and Lord Buddha saying, I give you permission to ask the order to shave your head? What happened there? What was that? What's going on? I'm so confused. I'll keep reading. Now, at that time, in Rajagaha, a group of 17 boys were friends, Upali and his friends. Of these youth, Upali was the chief. Then it occurred to Upali's parents, quote, by what means could Upali, after our demise, live at ease and not be in want, end quote. Then it occurred to Upali's parents, quote, if Upali should learn writing, so would Upali, after our demise, live at ease and not be in want, end quote. Then it occurred to Upali's parents, quote, but if Upali learns writing, his fingers will become painful. Yeah, we've heard this story before. If Upali were to learn calculation, so would Upali, after our demise, live at ease and not be in want, end quote. Then it occurred to Upali's parents, quote, but if Upali learns calculation, his breast will become painful. I guess they did calculation differently back then. If Upali were to learn money changing, so would Upali, after our time, live at ease and not be in want, end quote. Then it occurred to Upali's parents, quote, but if Upali learns money changing, his eyes will become painful. Now there are these recluses, sons of the Sakyans, pleasant in habit, pleasant in conduct. Having eaten good meals, they lie down on beds sheltered from the wind. Now if Upali were to go forth among the recluses, sons of the Sakyans, so would Upali, after our demise, live at ease and not be in want, end quote. The boy Upali heard this conversation of his parents. Then the boy Upali approached the boys. Having approached, he spoke thus to these boys, quote, come, masters, we will go forth among the recluses, sons of the Sakyans. End quote. Quote, if you, master, will go forth, we likewise will also go forth. End quote. Then these boys, having parentheses each and parentheses, approached his parents, spoke thus, quote, consent that I may go forth from home into homelessness, end quote. Then the parents of these boys consented, thinking, quote, all these boys want the same thing. They are bent on what is good. End quote. These, having approached monks, asked for the going forth. These monks let them go forth. They ordained them. Getting up in the night towards dawn, these cried out, quote, give congee, give rice, give solid food, end quote. The monk spoke thus, quote, wait, your reverences, until it turns light. Should there be congee, you shall drink it. Should there be rice, you shall partake of it. Should there be solid food, you shall eat it. But should there not be congee or rice or solid food, then having walked for alms, you shall eat, end quote. But these monks, being spoken to thus by the monks, cried out just the same, quote, give congee, give rice, give solid food, end quote. And they soiled and wetted the bedding. And we've heard this whole story. It was in the Mahavibhanga, right? The rules for monks. Okay, but yes. Then the Lord, getting up in the night towards dawn, hearing the noise of boys, addressed the venerable Ananda, saying, quote, why ever, Ananda, is there this noise of boys? Then the venerable Ananda told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, is it true, as is said, monks, that monks knowingly ordain an individual who is under 20 years of age? End quote. Quote, it is true, Lord, end quote. The awakened one, the Lord, rebuked them, saying, quote, how, monks, can these foolish men knowingly ordain an individual who is under 20 years of age? Monks, an individual under 20 years of age is not able to endure cold, heat, hunger, thirst, the sting of gadflies or mosquitoes, wind and sun, creeping things, abusive, hurtful language. He is not the kind, parentheses, of person, end parentheses, who endures bodily feelings which, arising, are painful, acute, sharp, shooting, disagreeable, miserable, deadly. But monks, an individual of 20 years of age is able to endure cold, heat, three dots, miserable, deadly, monks. This is not for pleasing those who are not, parentheses, yet, end parentheses, pleased, nor for increasing the number of those who are pleased, end quote. Having rebuked them, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, an individual who is under 20 years of age should not knowingly be ordained. Whoever should, parentheses, so, end parentheses, ordain, parentheses, one such, end parentheses, should be dealt with according to the rule. End quote. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and close there. And that was a little odd because that rule we've read that before. That was in an earlier book. And there it is again. Interesting. Okay. I hope everybody enjoyed that. And I am so confused about the bald-headed metalsmith. That's a new one for me. A great mystery of Buddhism. What was with the bald-headed metalsmith on the shaving of heads? Is that the origin of the shaving of heads in the Sangha? I'm guessing not. But it seems like it is. I'll go ahead and close. I hope everybody has a wonderful day, wonderful week, wonderful month. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us, and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.